So last week we started moving towards Easter, and in doing that we found ourselves in John 14. So if you'd like to turn there and kind of follow along with us as we walk through this incredible verse, that's where we're kind of camped out for the next couple weeks, in John chapter 14 in verse number 6. And mainly it's because I want you to understand that we have a unique faith because of the unique claims that Jesus made. Jesus wasn't like anyone else. He made claims that no one else made. And this is one of them. One of them that you just have to stop and reflect on and say, okay, if that's true, that changes everything. So Jesus in the upper room with his disciples right before he is arrested and then ultimately dies for our sins and rises again for our salvation, makes this statement. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's where he started. And what we learned last week, so if you want to go back and check out last week, if you weren't here, so you can follow along where we've been. The way to the Father is through the one who fulfilled everything necessary to make us right with God. So as we get started this morning, some of this is going to sound like review because I really need to set everything up to go back to the second part of John chapter 14 and what Jesus wants to teach and get his disciples and ultimately all of us who would get to read this to understand. And that was his statement, I am the truth. And what we said was what? What does this mean and is it true? Because this is really important. What does this mean and is it true? And we said that for the disciples, when they heard this, the truth was the Torah of the Old Testament. And what did we say that Jesus said early on, the Sermon on the Mount, one of what they believe is one of the first sermons that Jesus had, one of his first teaching times, he said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets, that's the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish these things, but to fulfill them. Okay, I came to wipe them out. I came actually to fulfill everything. And so in this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is literally looking at them and saying, I am the living Torah. I am the living word. You don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to go anywhere else. Everything is found in me. So Jesus was the living Torah who fulfilled what no one else could. That's why he is the way. That is why all the Jewish traditions, if you've ever gotten stuck in one of those early books, Leviticus, okay, Numbers, and you're like, why is there all these directions? Because this is what it took to have your sins forgiven, to put the people right with God. So Jesus comes and he fulfills all of that, okay? That's why we don't sacrifice animals anymore, why we don't have all these laws to make us right with God, because Jesus came and made us right with God. So we put our trust in him and we get a right relationship with God. It's absolutely amazing. And it's absolutely amazing that sometimes this really simple concept of trusting Jesus for everything is really made hard and difficult and complicated. And people are like, well, I don't know if I could do that. Also, this statement is seen at times as very exclusive. It leaves people out. And actually, it does the opposite. It invites anybody from any place, any time, any background, any nationality to come to Jesus and find the way. So today is part two. Today is the truth. This is really, really important. This is really important that we understand this and what it means of this concept of the truth, okay? So again, when they heard truth, they heard, well, that's what we always thought the Torah was. In fact, this is one of David's statements in the Psalms. Guide me into your truth and teach me. Okay, this is what he's asking God to do. I need you to guide me into your truth. Now, where would he find that? He would find that in the Torah. He would find that in the scriptures that they had. And for David, it was literally the first five books. Okay? That's where he would find that. Guide me into your truth and teach me. And now Jesus, standing before his disciples, and for us to read later, says, I am the truth. So what Jesus does is he invites us to himself. The truth. And you, what I want you to understand today is the benefits of the truth. Why this is really important. Why that word is mostly dead in our culture, but we need to revive it because it's really, really important. Or we put a word in front of it, like your truth, my truth, and somehow it becomes very subjective. And what Jesus is going to do is invite us to himself. He is the truth, and that's going to provide us with some incredible things that we need for our life, okay? The first one is this. The truth is foundational. You need the truth so you know what to build your life off of, okay? This is one of David's statements. If the Lord does not build the house, then those who build work in vain. So what, we get our lumber and say, okay, God, build the house, right? Wouldn't that be cool? That doesn't happen. So he's really not talking about a house. He's saying if we let the Lord build a life, then those who are building that life don't build it in vain. Why? Because they're building off of truth. They are laying a really, really important foundation. In fact, this is what Paul writes later. Because you have been built on the foundation with what? Christ himself is the cornerstone. I've explained this before, but first century, you built the cornerstone first, okay? And you got it right and square and true and everything. You spent all your time on the cornerstone. Because if the cornerstone wasn't right, the whole building would be off. Like, you'd get to the end and go, somebody measured wrong here, this last block. I mean, it doesn't go anywhere near where it's supposed to, okay? And right, they didn't eyeball it, okay? They actually measured over and over, and they got it perfect, and they got it right, and they got it square. Why? Because the whole building would be off of this cornerstone. And Paul takes that concept and says, do you understand that's what Jesus is? Jesus is that perfect square, that perfect thing that you and I need to build our lives off of. It's something that's foundational. And let me tell you, foundations are really, really, really important. Let me tell you how important, because I think if you have somebody in the situation that I'm going to describe, you need to love them, you need to pray for them, and you need to do whatever you can to help them. I don't know, some of you men in here might have got what I thought was a great privilege, I still do, to be in the delivery room and to watch as my son was born. And then for the doctor to say, the first thing was what? Congratulations, you have a boy, okay? And then I love to tell the story that he asked us, did you pick out a name? And we said, yeah, his name's going to be Stephen. That was our doctor's name, okay? And we had to break the news to him, no, we're sorry, we're not naming our son after you, okay? And explain the whole thing to him. But, okay, that is a foundational statement. Do you know we have a lot of people who have questioned that foundational statement, that the enemy has somehow convinced them that that might not be true? And that is a terrible place to be. If the foundation statement, the first thing that was said about you when you were born, is somehow questioned in your mind and you're not sure that's true anymore, can you imagine what that does to a life? Let me give you one snapshot of what that does to a life. Do you know that the suicide rate in our country, in our time, is about 4%? Do you know what it is among people who struggle with that foundational identity? 40. I'm not surprised by that stat. I'll tell you why. Because when you take away a foundational piece of somebody and you put a big question mark, that what was a statement at the beginning, that's what happens. That's why we have to love, we have to pray for. And if you know somebody and you're not praying for them, please start praying for them. Because this is a way that the enemy is just absolutely destroying people's lives. Foundation. The foundational statements about who we are, they have to be built on. When we build on Jesus, we find we understand our identity. We understand our gifts. We understand what he has created us to do. Why? Because I'm building off of truth. I'm building off of this foundation of Jesus. And I want you to know that's what it provides. It provides that foundation for us to be able to build our lives off of. And not have these big question marks and not have points where we don't know who we are, but we build off of Jesus and we let him bring that truth to our life. Because there's a second thing that the truth brings, and that the truth brings clarity. It brings clarity. It clears things up that somehow we were unsure about or confused about. You ever heard this phrase? It's complicated. There's a lot of things that are complicated, okay? I think every sitcom uses this phrase, right? Because it's all complicated, isn't it? Okay? I almost can't keep track. I'm like, Jill, enjoy your show, okay? I give up, okay? Because this person's with this person, who's with that person, who's there and here. And all the main characters just use this phrase. Well, it's complicated. Okay? Really? Why? And it's just because complicated means it's cloudy, it's unclear. We're not sure about it. Can I tell you what the last year's been? Why it's been so hard and so difficult, in my opinion, for a moment? Clarity. There's no clarity. Everybody's on every side of every issue. Things got politicized, which is always bad. I mean, just always bad, okay? When that happens, you just know you're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get clarity on a situation. And that's what we've had. Listen, the people that we used to, you know, listen to, you grew up knowing, hey, that's the National Institute for Health. They're going to tell you the truth. Have been on every side of every issue. And you're like, okay, well, what's true anymore? What's true anymore? Because you don't know. We really don't know in a lot of situations. There is no clarity. There's no clarity on a lot of things. And that's why it's so frustrating. That's why it's so confusing. That's why all of a sudden people that we should be able to have good relationships with, we haven't. Because all this stuff has been cloudy at times. It's been complicated. And it just hasn't produced the clarity that we needed. Let me help you. This is really simple. Here's Jesus' statement. Right before this, he looks at his disciples and he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And by new, what he's going to do, he's going to sum up all the stuff in the Torah for them, okay? That at times the Pharisees got very confusing, okay? There were 631 laws, okay? I'll take one. All right, I don't know about you. 631, I'm going to mess those up. One, look at this. I give you a new commandment. To love one another. This is where Jesus walks in and gives them absolute clarity of how they are going to move forward. Now, they still don't understand he's going to die. They still don't understand the resurrection. They don't understand what's about to happen. But he's like, from this point forward, guys, new commandment. This is what you're going to do. You're going to love one another. And he says, you're going to love one another as I have loved you. And they had no idea how much he loved them until he laid out his arms and died for them. And then they're like, oh, that's how we live, okay? So you can sum this up in a very simple question, okay? If you're unclear about what you should do about a certain issue in a certain time, this is where the truth brings clarity. What does love require of me? That's what you gotta ask. This is really simple. What does love require of me? Well, I get the situation, because remember I told you before, you can make scripture say anything you want it to say. That's how you get everybody on every side of every issue, because I can just twist it and manipulate it and find Greek words somewhere to back up something I want to believe in, okay? But you start asking this question, and it cuts through all that. All of a sudden, well, you know, there's this verse in the Old Testament, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and so I'm just going to take what they took from me. Well, what does love require of me? Well, obviously not that. See how that changes everything? It cuts through all the layers we would like to put in to defend the way sometimes that we treat one another, which is horrible. And it just removes all that. And we just ask, hey, what does love require of me? Well, that's a very different question, right? It's a clarifying question so that we don't have to wonder and we don't have to go, what am I supposed to do? If we just simply put this in, we would know what to do. We would know what to do in our marriages. We would know what to do in our households. We would know what to do at work. We would know what to do in lots of different situations. If we just went back to Jesus' command, his new command, and then we took it in the form of a question, and we just asked, okay, What does love require of me? What does love require of me in this situation? What should I do? Not what do I want to do, not what I think I can twist stuff and make it sound like. What does love require of me? Because the truth brings such clarity that it just removes all that complication from our lives. And then we know how we should move forward and what we should do. The last one is the truth provides trust. The truth provides trust. And all the married people in the room know this, okay? Hard to build relationships when there is no trust. In fact, it's impossible. Now, gone are the days where people would just out of pure discipline and determination stay together in a place where there's mistrust. Because I've seen them, okay? Just because somebody has been married for 50 years, okay? It used to be, it doesn't mean it was a good 50 years. I've seen a lot of bad 50 years. And you know why? Early on, trust got lost. It was never gained back. It was never worked on. It was never built on. And so it just created this gap in space. That's what it does. That's what it does. It's impossible to build relationships without trust. It just is. So what's Jesus going to do? If he wants us to walk with him, if he wants us to know him, as Paul said, then what's he going to do? He's going to provide trust. There's going to be trust in that relationship. I'm going to be able to trust that Jesus has a plan and Jesus knows what he's doing and he is in control and in charge of what is going on in the world. Because without that thing called trust, it's really hard, nearly impossible to build a relationship without it. So, most of us have heard this statement before that Solomon made. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. I'm either going to trust Jesus or I'm going to trust myself more than Jesus. And Jesus has done everything to help us to trust him. In fact, it's the one thing he said at the beginning of John 14 that we saw last week. You believe in God, you trust in God, and he looks at the disciples and says, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me that what's about to happen is for your good and for God's glory, that I have a plan and a purpose in all of it. And he just builds that out in the next few chapters of John, where he just builds this out. I need you, I want you to trust me. I have a plan in all of it. And there were moments, disciples didn't trust very well, right? Peter didn't trust very well. A lot of them didn't. They all ran, they all scattered. And yet, after the resurrection, it changed everything. Why? Because what he said was going to happen, happens. And that built some amazing trust in that group who heard all these statements and all these things and like, wow. Okay, now we've just seen something that's never happened. And this is what I tell you all the time. If someone predicts their own death and resurrection and pulls it off, go with whatever that person says, okay? Why? They've built incredible trust in that moment. They've done what nobody else could do. So listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to what they say. All you have to do is start with Jesus, okay? All you have to do is start with Jesus. Jesus talks about creation. Jesus talks about Adam and Eve. Jesus talks about Jonah, all the places where you've heard, oh, that couldn't have happened, and see, that's why the Bible isn't true. I'm just going to go with Jesus. Jesus said it happened. I'm going to trust him. He said he would die. He said he would rise again. He did it all. I'm going to trust him. See, trust is the path to intimacy. And to be honest for a moment, okay, and step out of this and back into what I started with, married couples in the room watching online. If there's a lack of this in your marriage, somewhere along the line, trust got broken. You said you were going to do something and you didn't. But that something was probably big. Because come on, little stuff doesn't do it unless it builds over time. But we're not talking about little stuff. We're talking about big stuff. We're talking about big stuff. We're talking about those vows that were said in the beginning. that were broken. And all of a sudden, space came in, and all of a sudden, there wasn't trust anymore. Because without trust, it is impossible to be close. It is impossible to build a relationship from that. So what does Jesus do? He invites us into a relationship where we can trust him, that what he says he will do, what he has promised will happen, what he has proclaimed is true, and we can follow that. So there's our statement today. Jesus is the truth. A foundational, clarifying, trust-building truth that transforms a life. This is what transforms a life. This is where we invite Jesus in, and we allow him to do that. Okay? Gone the days where we just say, oh, I just need to pray a prayer and then continue on in my life. No, because next week we're going to find that Jesus is life. He is the life we want, the life we desire, if we understand what that invitation is. But this morning, I need to understand, this is what transforms a life. That following Jesus brings that foundational truth that we need. You and I need this to build our life off of. Because it is hard to know what is true when you're looking around you in our culture. And what are you going to build off of? And what are you going to build your life on? And what are you going to build that on? The truth's clarifying. It's just going to bring you clarity to know what I need to do. What does love require of me? Start asking that question. It'll be a lot simpler to make decisions because the truth actually clarifies things for us. And then it's trust building because Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. A relationship that is going to be built on trust, continued in trust, where we put our trust in him and he doesn't let us down. Now, got to preface this for a moment. Part of our problem and why you might have difficulties trusting God is that probably somewhere along the way, this is just what happens to all of us, God didn't do what you expected him to do. This is the hardest part of following Jesus and walking in a broken, fallen world, is that God doesn't do what we expect him to do. And that could be a loved one who got sick, and you're like, oh God, you're going to heal him. You're going to heal him. And then God doesn't do what we expect him to do. And that person dies. And we stand at the gravestone and we're like, this is wrong. This shouldn't happen. This isn't right. And what happens is, because God didn't do what we expect him to do, guess what happens? Space. Because you think God promised something that he didn't deliver. And now you're having problems trusting him again. Because there's been that space. Happens to everybody at some point. Because that's what it is, living in a broken, messed up, screwed up world. It just happens. It happens to all of us. And in those moments, and you might be in one now, you might have been in one in the past, what are you going to do? Did God not do what he promised to do, or God didn't do what you expected him to do? It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. I've talked to enough broken people who have walked away from God because God didn't do what they expected him to do. That's really hard. That's a really hard place to be. If that's you, I am telling you, God always does what he promised he will do. And that is this moment where you need to work through it, pray through it, get counseling through it, because otherwise that gap's only going to get bigger over time. Time heals all wounds is one of the biggest lies that we all believe, okay? Does that happen to anybody? Yeah, we had to spout 20 years ago, but 20 years later, man, we're the best of friends and it's awesome. No, that doesn't happen. 20 years, who's that person? Oh, yeah, we're better. Eh, yeah, they're gone. And I have no idea, right? Because nothing gets better. Relationships that are broken in trust do not get better over time. You don't need more space from God. You need to figure out what to do in that space and what it's going to take for you to trust God again. Because I'm telling you, this happens to all of us. And what are you going to put in that space? You're either going to walk away because God didn't do what you expected him to do, or you're going to figure out, how do I work through this? And I start trusting the one who died in my place and rose for my salvation all over again, and who is the truth. So I want to pray for us this morning. I want you to ask really carefully, who am I building my life upon? Who am I trusting? And has there been a moment where in honesty this morning you'd say, yeah, God didn't do something I expected him to do, and that's created a problem that I desperately need to get fixed so I can move forward? Let us pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I know it's challenging when life messes us up, when it it's just hard to trust you, because something we expected to happen didn't happen the way we wanted it to. And if we'd be honest this morning, that caused space. And this morning we're confronted that Jesus is the truth, and I can trust him. So would you help us this morning not lie to ourselves, because the truth might make us feel bad about ourselves, but be really honest about where we are. Foundationally, Jesus, are we building off of you? If we're not, I'm afraid it's going to put big question marks in all sorts of areas of our life. We're not going to understand who we are. We're not going to understand foundationally our identity. Would you bring clarity? So in other words, in the midst of big decisions, and we want to know, what does love require of me? That can bring a lot of clarity to where we're not certain about. And then would you remind us that we can trust you? Even in the times where you didn't do what we expected you to do, you've always done what you promised you will do. May we seek out the help we need to be able to rebuild and move forward. Jesus, you are the truth. Help us to build off of that. In a world and a culture where truth just seems to be very subjective, at times missing, we know we need it. Thank you for providing it. Help us to build our lives off you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.